Be the right club. Be the right club today.
Yes! Johnny, that's better than most.
How about him?
That is better than most. Better than most!
Expect anything different?
Damas y caballeros, welcome back to the No Laying Up Wednesday Happy Hour presented by High Noon. Gentlemen, how are we today?
TC in the host chair tonight. I love it. I could not be more excited to talk Masters, talk golf. Vibes are high in Augusta. Big Randy is here. You know that's got my spirits high. How are you, Big?
I'm great, boys. Yo soy fiesta.
See? Yo soy fiesta. Randy is bringing the fiesta anywhere he goes with the all-new High Noon Tequila Seltzer Fiesta Pack. Variety 8-pack features two new tequila flavors, blood orange and prickly pear. Randy, what are you going with today?
Well, we're actually in a vodka outfit today, but it's the peak.
You're not fiesting.
I'm not fiesting. Well, I'm fiesting in spirit, of course.
All right. Blood orange, prickly pear. I love them. They're great. Grapefruit and lime comes in those packs as well. All are made with real tequila and real juice. Perfect for any fiesta. Go ahead and find the High Noon Tequila Fiesta Pack at your nearest retailer, and you can find it at highnoonspirits.com. They've got a little tool to help you track down the all-new Fiesta Pack as well. So, High Noon, sun's up. Gentlemen, let's get to it.
Boys, what I was trying to think of, like, what starts the show here. We the idea behind the Wednesday Happy Hour was like, man, a lot happens in major weeks leading up, between Monday and Wednesday when we record the Monday, kickoff. But I'll ask you this, in your guys' mind, what has happened this week? Because honestly, for mine, not a ton has really happened.
Randy, tell me.
Allegedly, the par three contest is going on. I can't tell you much about that. I did see my guy Rick is leading, so. Like that. Let's keep him up there. I don't know. Some interesting press conference nuggets. I know we have a few pulled for later in the show, but no five alarm fires. It's been pretty subdued, I guess.
Yeah, it seems like golf world, one of the rare instances where it's coming back together. Things don't feel like they're burning down. Feels like a very just calm, stable week, and which I'm sure is exactly what Augusta wants to have happen as well, right? Just, everything. Hey, let's just kind of bring it back to normalcy here and bring the volume down a little bit and bring it back to the golf. So seems like between Ridley's presser, Rory's short little presser, Rahm saying how much he loves the PGA Tour.
is he a D-rider?
possibly. Weather being great up there. Not a ton of changes to the golf course. It just seems like it's kind of a picture of normalcy up there.
It is a picture of normalcy, but yet again, this is kind of my first time experiencing the Masters as a press member. I've been to a couple practice rounds before, but haven't really fully engulfed in it. And we popped in both times I've been with you, TC. Randy, we went in 2012 with your brother-in-law, and then we went back in 2018 as well. And it's really, this is the first time it's hit me just like the scale of everything, just the massive amount of infrastructure. I mean, it's infrastructure for you, especially as an infrastructure junkie, TC. It's just a operational excellence. It's ridiculous how many amazing, huge, massive facilities they have. I toured the content center today, which was enormous. There's so many roads and tunnels that are leading to all these places you wouldn't even know needed to exist. The massive employee dining place. The merchandise tent is enormous. They have an incredible system moving people through that. I'm just blown away, even knowing as much about the Masters as I do, covering it for as long as we have kind of from afar. The scale of this tournament and the importance of this one week is just, it's seared into my brain potentially forever, just being out here consistently for a few days. It's just wild.
Yeah, it seems like it's getting bigger and bigger too. I imagine in future years, it sounded like Ridley today said they're building an underground parking facility. they've got like a whole you know, family and support staff. Randy, I know you're all about the family and the support staff, everybody's team out there, you know, whole facility for them. They're going to do version 2.0 for the map and flag hospitality thing across the street, which I imagine at some point they're probably going to tunnel underneath the road instead of making people cross Washington Road to get in and out of that. So yeah, it seems like, you know, the more messed up everything else gets, the more important and like just clear cut the Masters gets above everything else, especially like just, and like, I would say not just with golf, as the rest of society and sports and, you know, everybody's attention spans and, you know, everything gets so fractured and none of us are watching the same stuff. It feels like the Masters is kind of one of the few things that brings everything back into focus at the same time.
Yeah, it is. And I know this is one of your things, TC. This is old school TC, is when the pairings come out, you just start cooking. You got the ingredients now. You can start throwing them in a stew or in a roast of some kind. Just going pairing by pairing and just dishing them one by one. Yeah, you sent us over some notes. So why don't we get into some of the pairing highlights, or what you kind of saw is some pairing highlights, and you can take us through some of that.
Yeah. So I would welcome everybody to go to nolayingup.com. We've got a live page going for all of our Masters related content this week. So we'll be kind of nesting everything there from all of our various channels, kind of putting that in one place. But as far as the pairings themselves go, some cheeky ones. I think, Sally, you said this, Thorbjørn Olesen gets the special exemption in there. And then there's an asterisk though. He's got to play with Bryson.
And, probably worth it. Honestly, I think I'd accept a special exemption even if I had to play with Bryson at the Masters. So, but I'm sure he'll take his babysitting role very seriously.
We got Jasper Stubbs, our buddy there. He's the amateur, won the Asia Pacific Am. He gets saddled with Captain Zeej, Zach Johnson. Little bummed to see that. My guy Foxy with Chris Kirk and Sergio. You got a flushers pairing, kind of a light flushers pairing. Lucas Glover, Ben Ahn, Harris English. Mickelson paired with Finau. Finau still got his ongoing litigation out in Utah. I'm sure Mickelson will give him all sorts of unsolicited legal advice.
Well, and I'll say also with Sepp Straka, that's a big boy grouping right there. Nothing but big boys.
A lot of screen setters in that group.
Yeah.
Kind of a sneaky group. I'd be into this one. Joaquin Niemann, Russell Henley, Nick Taylor paired up together. They are, I'm in on that. I think, the more I learn about Nick Taylor, the more I watched him a bunch out at Pebble. You know, Henley kind of goes about his business. Joaquin's riding kind of a hot streak. I think this would be a pretty fascinating pairing to see. And then you've got Nohat Pat, Minwoo Lee, Ricky Fowler playing together. So I guess Minwoo broke his finger.
Allegedly. Yeah. I've heard that he broke a finger or thumb. I don't know what it was, but, he's been playing and swinging full. I've seen him out on the court. He's one of the few guys I have seen out hitting shots, and nothing really stuck out to me from watching him. But obviously that's going to be, you have to think that's going to be a factor in some way.
You got Hideki, Zalatoris, JT. We'll see kind of how JT.
That's going to be a good group. That's a really good one. I mean, a lot to see from JT this week. You know, obviously just made the split with Bones, hasn't had a great start to the year. Obviously didn't have a good year last year with Zalatoris, who's got the two great major Masters finishes the two times he's been there with a Masters champ. That one's circled for me. We're starting to get into some heaters these next three groups.
Yeah, we'll see if Zalatoris can keep putting lights out at Augusta, as those stats have shown. Rahm, Fitzpatrick, and Dunlap. We'll get to Rahm a little bit later in the show. Fitzpatrick, his caddy Billy Foster had quite a bit to say about kind of the state of golf the last couple of days. So keen to check in on that one. And then there with Nick Dunlap as well, where I think Dunlap should have a good week. I think this is a big boy golf course. I think he's got big boy game and tends to play well on you know, good architecture. What do you guys think about Scotty, Rory, and Xander getting paired up together?
This is a bit of a surprise. Like, Augusta doesn't really usually do this as far as, you know, three of the top strongest favorites in the field. Usually they split them up and they kind of, obviously there's two Americans and one European in there, but they love to just mix up, you know, they'll do an American, a European, and maybe an Asian player. It's kind of the way they usually mix it up in some way, or an Australian player, something of a weird mix. But this one is really interesting. I mean, that's the I think they do it to kind of spread out, usually do it to spread people out on the golf course, I'd imagine. And PGA Tour is the one that usually tends to, you know, stack guys together like this. And so I was a little surprised at this, especially surprised it's not a feature group. They always leave you with one just curious one of like, I mean, I know you guys are capable of like almost anything. Why won't we be able to watch this one again? Like, remind me of that one. I don't really have an answer to that other than if there is a weather delay, then maybe they get bumped back into the TV window for Thursday afternoon. But that's, I mean, there's going to be a big crowd around that group tomorrow. I promise you that.
We got Wyndham, Hovland, Cam Smith. Randy, how you been feeling about Wyndham's shirts this week so far?
Oh, I love them, TC. I actually haven't. What have you guys seen him today? I have not. I know he said he had something big planned today, but have not seen his outfit today.
He was talking a big game, but no, I haven't. I have not seen it as today either. I don't know if I'm sure Sarge is searching for it at the moment.
The one yesterday, it wasn't like that offensive. It was just ugly. Like it's, yeah, it's like one of those just, things like right. The ones that Hovland wears, I'm like, oh, like that's it's interesting. When you know the blow pigs is just like, no, like it looks like you were rolling around in the pigsty in shit. So
I don't think it was that bad. Come on.
It wasn't good. Speaking of shirts, my guy Maronk, he's wearing his Cleeks gear out there. I was happy to see that traveled with him. Made the trip with him. He's paired up with Grayson Murray and Lee Hodges. We'll skip down a little bit.
Yeah. Opinion yeah. On your clique getting that pairing. Does that feel like a little slight to Adrian Maronk as a clique?
It does. Although, you know, on the flip side, they could have paired him with a couple of guys from like the European Ryder Cup team and really twisted the knife. So,
that's true.
You know, I feel like they could have done him a lot more dirty if they wanted to. Gosh, what else we got? We got, I'm going to skip down a little bit. Did you guys see the Stuart Hagestad? Randy, I know you had to have seen this. You're a big Wall Street Journal guy. Stuart Hagestad, the merchant banker who could win the Masters.
Yeah. Merchant. Yeah. 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 Love that. I mean,
what a pass.
Fluffy piece.
Hey, more power to him, right? Like,
right.
They're going to write it about him. Hey,
that's not his fault. Yeah.
I would say lap it up. Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
that's Big Stu. Spending time last August with Big Stu at the Walker Cup, he, you know, he leans all the way into that stuff.
Yeah.
I could see him loving that process.
He's paired up with Freddie Couples and Adam Hadwin. We've got Team Rose, country music sensation Eric Cole, and policy board member Pete Malnati.
Real quick on that, TC, not didn't see great things out of Mr. Couples in terms of his physical condition. It did not look great. Every time I've seen him so far this week, it looked like he's not having the best of times. So I don't know if
the back.
I think it's just something to keep an eye on. I'm not positive what's going to happen here, but just something to keep an eye on.
Randy, we got Akshay, JT Poston, most underrated player in the world. And Shane Lowry, how did you react when you found out that Akshay's injury initially stemmed from a pickleball injury?
Pickleball. It's disgusting. He's way too young to be playing pickleball. Go out and play tennis if you want a real sport. You don't need to be messing around with, you know, glorified ping pong. I hate it, TC. Yeah, I thought these guys are supposed to be athletes. Come on.
They are.
Listen, every time that this happens – very frequently, every time people start to have the athlete conversation again, a very horrifically embarrassing injury pops up just to remind us that no, that's not the case. I heard a story today about in the playoff in 1990, when Ray Floyd and Nick Faldo got to the 11th hole, like their darkness was setting in, and Ray Floyd like ran off the 11th tee to go take a leak in the tent or whatever that's by the 11th tee, and they're kind of chasing darkness. And he gets out and like Faldo's way up ahead, and the darkness again is setting in. And he like does, he's 46 years old, and he takes off in like a little slight jog just to keep things moving. And again, not that they were under a time, not that they were on the clock, but again, trying to fight darkness. Like he kind of rushed up to his ball and said he was winded by the time he hit the shot. And I'm pretty sure he hit it in the water and ended up losing the playoff. He thinks the bathroom break cost him a chance to win the Masters. It's like, oh,
I hate
man.
That.
Yeah. Might not be athletes.
Couple more pairings here. We got this one kind of interesting to me. Keegan, Matthew Pavon, Tyrrell Hatton. kind of reminded me of the American Revolution. I don't know about you guys, but you know, you got Keegan, Tyrrell,
Keegan and Matthew Pavon.
And then you got Pavon. Well, the French, you know, helped us out during the American Revolution. And Pavon's just kind of hanging out on the side. You know, he actually had some really good quotes today, but he's just kind of hanging around.
Which side do you think Keegan's on? He's got red coat energy to me.
Mm. Really? No, he's from like the heart of New England.
Well, they weren't all for. They weren't all. They weren't all separatists, TC.
I mean, I don't think he's unpacked his suitcase since the Boston Tea Party.
Yeah.
Maybe. You got Adam Scott, Sam Burns, Cam Young. It's kind of you gotta worry about Burns a little bit with the overseeded rye. This isn't Bermuda.
And a potential his wife is due at any I think next week or at any moment, really. There's both him and Scotty. I don't know if they're playing with beepers this week, but have both said they're going to withdraw if their wives go into labor. Scotty's not, his wife is not due until, I believe, early May or late April, but it's getting to be a little close for those guys.
Now, what if he's got like a 4-shot lead Sunday, has to withdraw? That would be the ultimate asterisk, right? Gooch not in the field.
That's true.
And Scotty having to withdraw. Asterisk. Yeah. We got Tiger, J-Day, and the pro, Max Homa.
If I can get a chance to plug the, I did a Twitter Spaces last night on the Masters feed with Shane Bacon and Max Homa, and Max was in a great mood last night and was sharing some really interesting, minute details about Augusta, about playing specific holes, about, you know, short putts, about things that he's learned over the years and learning potentially maybe sometimes to be way more conservative when the shot is requesting a certain shot shape, but the lie is suggesting something different. Talked about potentially laying up on 13 if he has the wrong tweener, based on the feel of his swing. He provided a lot more detail than what I'm sharing right there, but I would suggest going and find that. It's on our Twitter feed as well if you want to find that, because he really had some great insight into what he's learned at Augusta and what it's going to take to succeed out there and what it's like to play with Tiger and what he's expecting for playing with Tiger tomorrow. So that was a lot of fun. Appreciate him doing that during Masters week.
I'm bullish on the pro.
I am too.
That's going to be comfy pairing, I think. I think J-Day is playing decent golf right now too. I feel like the pro is kind of a post-hype sleeper in these majors. Randy, do you disagree?
Well, no, I wanna believe. I just gotta see it. This is a big spot for the pro. Yeah, this is a big week for the pro. I wish him nothing but the best. I hope he balls out, but I just gotta see it.
To spoil part of it, he had a really interesting point on what he's learned on short putts at Augusta and how it's different than normal tour stops. Like I don't think he shared the actual percentages, but he just says the holes at Augusta sit on stronger percentages areas of the green slope wise than they do on the PGA Tour. So it took a lot for him to get over a 4-foot putt. He would like line it up and expect it, play it outside the hole, but get over it and say that's too much break and start like pushing it towards the hole and missing low way too frequently. And like it's taking them time to realize, you have to sometimes play 4 and 5 footers like outside the hole like, with confidence at Augusta. And I found it to be a really interesting nugget. Cause one of the things I learned from Data Golf this week from their shot, the thing they published on shot by shot data on, I forget what they called it exactly, for every player in the field and how it's affected, is like, short putting at Augusta is really important. Putting between 2 and 5 feet is more important than a normal every week. I'm guessing that has something to do with it, of those putts just being more difficult at a place like this. So you're less likely to have putts between 5 and 30 feet here. You're more likely to have the short putts and putts from way outside 30 feet. So good lag putting and good finishing up around the hole is an important stat, which I hadn't really thought of it in that level of detail.
Listen, Solly, I looked at their shot level course fit thing on their analytics blog. Very cool. Very, very neat stuff. Randy and I have been putting out an eye test.
Okay.
Yeah.
Course fit.
No, thank you.
Years. Yeah. Yeah.
Here's my advice for short putts. Just make them, just make them.
I think that's their conclusion as well.
I'm worried Max is a little too deep in the forest, maybe. Come on, let's just see ball, hit ball. We got to make some putts.
It's kind of a damning thing for the PGA Tour week to week to know that like they just don't put pins on interesting spots ever. Like that. All right, like that sounds like something you could do for signature events or elevated events and differentiate those, right? Make it a different challenge.
But that would require differentiating them, TC. You do have to acknowledge that. You have to admit that. Okay.
Speaking of differentiating, Harmon and Koepka paired together. The
oh, open, here we go.
The champion golfer of the year and Brooks. And then we've got Tom Kim, who hasn't big, like he doesn't deserve to be in that pairing.
Big spot for Koepka getting the Kim drawing. Yeah, that's a big. He's playing with a global superstar. You know, he doesn't get to do a lot on the LIV tour. So that's a big spot for Koepka. I'm wondering if he can handle the pressure this week.
A couple small boys for him to bully maybe the first 2 days.
I don't know why you're so offended by this. This is what a normal Masters pairing looks like. We talked about this. Like it isn't always stacking up the top champions all together like this.
Oh, no, I feel like they normally pair the reigning, you know, major champs with like one of the amateurs or you know, somebody really noteworthy. Like, Tom Kim hasn't done shit this year.
He has not done shit this year, but he was runner up to Brian Harmon in the most recent major. So that might have something to do with it. I don't disagree. That's going to be, especially with how Tom Kim's playing. This is, he's got his work cut out in this pairing.
Also, yeah, I'd love to see somebody get stroked this week. Just like they did with Anna Davis. I want to see somebody get stroked, slow play, enforce the rules.
That is a tough spot for Koepka. A notoriously fast player playing with Harmon. And, you know, that is a tough spot, but I think everything's going to be slow, especially something to talk about or think about here is weather. And we'll get into that in a second, but going off two tees is a potential if they do have to start in a delay, and that could end up with some pace of play issues.
Group 29. This is the main event, guys.
Love this.
Spieth, group. Ludvig, Sahith. Mm.
This is a TC group. Could go so many different ways.
I mean, I think it is going to go so many different ways, and then Ludvig is just going to be right down the middle on every hole. So I'm stoked. I think that's going to be awesome. Although I'm a little horrified. I saw that picture of Spieth's hands. I think that was from a previous year, but Antti Faldo tweeted something out with a picture of Spieth's hands, and it's horrifying.
The knuckles look enormous. I don't know if it's a bad edit or what it is, but that was a tough scene as Sarge scrolls through his slides here. But
and then last but not least,
you can find me with group 29, and whenever that group is going to go off, that's where I'll be out on the golf course.
1:48 p.m. Allegedly, yeah. Dustin Johnson, Colin Morikawa, and Fleetwood are last off on Thursday. Tommy was catching a lot of flack for that lavender. What do you call that? Cardigan jumper, cardigan. Button up.
I think it's a cardigan. Yeah,
it's a cardigan.
I don't hate it.
It's a little.
I hate the fit. Yeah, Nike's done him dirty a couple times with some of the sweaters as well in the past around majors. I think he gets them in the mail, doesn't like check them at all, and then just like, oh shit, I got to wear this today, and then doesn't realize that it's going to fit until more.
I wonder. You want it a little looser though, playing golf in. I don't think you can go like, you know, you're not going to dine at Oxford somewhere in it.
Sarge, what do you got for us?
Well, I was just going to say, I appreciate you addressing this because I knew after you given the blow pig some issues on his wardrobe, I was hoping that you wouldn't skip past this. The one thing that I think needs to be mentioned is your fit today, TC. That's because it's from Roback. Best fit, best feel. TC's rocking that Roback Azalea collection. It's back better than ever. The designs are next level. The products are amazing as always. And it's safe to say we're just fired up for those really big events in golf that go in the spring after seeing this collection. The performance polos are moisture wicking, have great stretch while the collar is so crisp. It doesn't lose its shape. They fit so much better than those old boxy polos too. Simply put, the best designs paired with the best feeling polos. And we all know about those best performance hoodies that I got right on. Solly, I see you too.
I think Randy's got the crew neck on.
Crew neck's awesome.
I got legit the Looper shorts on right now.
Crew neck slap.
Love it all. Love the fabric. Finally, Roback, we were just talking about those Looper shorts. They finally got loops on them. Made with the bell loop so you can be worn both on and off the course. They're incredibly comfortable. Made with signature freestride fabric ensures the shorts stay where they are. Can move in and out of them, keeping up with every swing. If you haven't already, it's time to load up on some Roback for you, yourself, friends, family. It doesn't matter who it is. Use the code NLU at Roback.com for a generous 20% off your first order through the end of the week. That's spelled Roback.com. 20% off all bottoms, Q-zips, hoodies, and more with code NLU. Spring golf isn't the same without Roback.
Boom. Sarge. Sal, you were seeing a lot of it out there.
I can confirm that I cannot go anywhere without somebody saying you can't go anywhere without seeing that subtle dog logo. Like I can't tell you how many people have came up and said that. It's super meta. But
I cannot believe we went all the way down the T-sheet there.
I didn't know we were truly incredible.
It took you 22 minutes to go down the T-sheet. We're supposed to keep it under an hour. Man. Where are we going, TC?
Real quick. I want to say, too, we're thinking about Ian Finnis, Finno, Tommy's caddy. He's not on the bag this week. I think he's back home. He was struggling a little bit during players with some health stuff. So hopefully he's all right. Hate seeing him not out there. He's one of my favorite people in golf. So, we got to talk weather. Tron Cantori. It was looking really, really bleak for the whole day. As of a couple days ago, we're talking about Thursday morning specifically. Now the models are in alignment. I can confidently say the GFS, the European model, the Icon, the North American model, all of them. We got this. This thing's been hanging out down by Sarge for the last three or four days. I saw some bleak scenes from I-10 in Biloxi and Mobile today. Just all sorts of flooding. But it looks like it's going to start overnight tonight into tomorrow morning, and then go to the other one. So that's for Friday. Friday it's going to blow out. Friday, Saturday look clear and windy. But Thursday we're looking at this is the European model right here, guys. We're looking at kind of drenched,
that good shit, boys.
Drench City, USA, from about 5 a.m. to about 8 or 9 a.m. and then kind of tapering off. And then it looks like it might get absolutely delightful tomorrow afternoon. So it's going to blow out, wind coming from the south, and then wind will gradually shift to coming out of the west for the remainder of Thursday, push those clouds out, get some sunshine in, and then gusting up to 35, 40 miles an hour, and then same God, deal on Friday.
Jesus. Yeah. So, what would you guys do? You're organizers right here. I know your immediate answer wants to be make a play in. I know what you're gonna say, Randy, but if you're realistically running a tournament with all these patrons and all this stuff, what are you doing tomorrow? Like, are you automatically saying we're not starting on time with this that's going on in the morning
for rain and some wind? Come on.
What potential electricity.
Yeah, well, it just all depends on the electricity, right?
Sure.
Well, and it's an inch and a half of rain's out of your hands. That's a lot. Like, that's
I'm not seeing the inch and a half. I just you know, that model wasn't showing it. I could see up to an inch, but again, my people in the back here, they're telling me, all my analysts, they're saying, hey, TC, we're not seeing an inch and a half. This thing's going to blow through quicker than that.
The official Masters forecasters, for the record, said between an inch and a half was what it said. So
I challenged them to a duel then.
I'm expecting a delay tomorrow morning. That's what I'm hearing on the ground. The combination of that much rain plus that much wind, I would guess that they're going to end up in some kind of delay. But
have they preemptively checked the trees? Any reporting on the trees?
I'll have to check with KVV on that one. I know he's our horticologist. I did see a sign for the horticology horticulture staff that we have confirmed is on site here in Augusta. I did see that sign today.
Woke horticulture. I don't know. I think you probably go. You just play it by ear. If you need a delay, you need a delay. And then, you know, Friday turns into very, you know, just a lot of golf, I guess. But guys, we all know the Foz is the architect of record out there. And
I saw the Foz a couple times this week, TC. It's been one of the highlights just seeing him hanging out under the big oak up there by the clubhouse. That's
the Foz. Nobody does drainage better than the Foz.
Yeah.
You feel me?
And I can report already the kitty litter is out in a lot of the high tread areas, some of the slopes, the kitty litter that Tiger famously hit off of on the 11th hole on that Sunday in 2019. It's out in a lot of places that you will find the patrons. So,
and that's a preemptive strike.
Well, it's still a little wet from the rain on Monday night. Like, there's just a little layer of organic matter, if you will, and kind of where people are walking more so than the golf course, I think.
Gotcha.
A lot of people there, man. It is pretty insane how many people show up and just soak up everything that comes in a practice round. It's a sea of humanity.
Solly, it's changed, man. Didn't used to be like that.
Back in your day.
Back in my day. Seriously.
feature groups, we got, again, these are 10:30 and 10:54 times. John Rahm, Matt Fitzpatrick, and Nick Dunlap. And then 10:54 is Wyndham, the Blow Pig, Victor Hovland, and Cameron Smith. In the afternoon, if this all goes off in time, of course, at 1:24, Tiger Woods, Jason Day, Max Homa. And then the final one is Dustin Johnson, Colin Morikawa, and the boy that TC abandoned in the Monday preview, which is Tommy Fleetwood. He abandoned his child.
Didn't abandon him at all.
You went down the odds sheet and you went right past him and didn't even mention him. If that's not abandoning, I don't know what is.
No, it's me lifting him up and saying, hey, you know what? Everybody's tired of hearing me talk about you. Just.
That has not stopped you. That has never stopped
you. More about showing and telling, okay?
It's a big new era for you, TC. I commend you.
So, what do you guys think about the Champions Dinner?
I mean, it looked good. Yeah, I wasn't able to make it, but
looked good. Yeah,
of course, enjoyed the photo that comes out annually and doing the fit checks. You got any fits you want to call out in particular from anyone there?
I was kind of appalled at some of the colors that guys were wearing the shirts. Some of the tie knots were bad. But you know, DJ always wearing that black shirt. I actually dig that. It's so egregious. It's so bad. It's good. But like Jordan wearing that purple
tie,
the Masters green. Yeah, he was keeping the perp by the pound. Didn't know about that one. I thought Kat looked good. You know, I always forget about how much of a unit Faldo is. Like, he's just such a large human being. It's crazy.
I enjoyed the photos of him as well. Looking up at the eclipse with wearing multiple eclipse glasses. That was great.
You got Big Tex, Sergio, and
TC. I don't see
Charles Cootie hanging out back there.
I don't want to jump on your he's a unit because he absolutely is, but I think this back row is standing on something.
Oh.
Yeah. They have
even,
to be.
Even then, though, I mean, he's fucking huge. Right?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. It's always, you know, pictures are worth a thousand words. I'm trying to get Spencer Hall to write something up on it because it's
Solly, did you hear
fodder for him?
Was Phil communicative this year?
I have not heard. I'm guessing he would be at this point. That is a good question. I have not heard it either way. I might have to maybe do some sourcing of some guys in that room.
I always think Jose Maria
that last year.
I think Jose Maria looks just dignified. A little touch of gray in that beard of his. He always stands out to me. It must be a Spanish thing.
The yellow tie is strong. Anybody that's wearing the yellow tie looks pretty put together. Jose Maria could double as Andrew Waterman there as well. Some resemblance there. Craig Stadler looks great as always.
Yeah, he does. He looks like a fun time.
Yeah. Menu looked awesome. That's one of the all timers. That's up there with BJ. Had a really good one. He had my favorite Thai restaurant in Atlanta cater it. Trying to think who else has had a great one. Hideki obviously had a great one, but Bubba's up there with the chicken breasts and the birthday cake.
Faldo called him out for that this week too. Somebody asked what the worst one was, and he's like, "It's got to be Bubba's." I mean, I think he had milkshakes or whatever, but.
No, but the Masters social guys did an awesome job with that. They did a reel last night with kind of making old fashions and then, you know, showing the ham. This guy had little.
Oh, my God, these cuts.
Yeah, right? Like those cuts. And then the guy had these little tiny, like mini gloves on the ends of his fingers.
That's unbelievable.
Attention to detail, baby. So, I mean, look at that.
That's pretty cool. Nice spiral. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. He had some, you know, he had Rioja, Jacqueline, for the white, and then obviously the Pinchos and the Tapas and all that. So awesome stuff. Looked like just a fantastic, fantastic menu. So I think we'll probably do our menus at some point later in the week, maybe on Sunday. a lot of pressure. I'm kind of grinding on it. Just tired of basically seeing people put up their menu, like what their menu would be, and having it basically be like what they just get at any random corporate steakhouse. Show some imagination.
Nothing grinds my gears. Yeah, I can't even get through the week reading those tweets, man. I can't. I'm losing focus on the golf tournament because of these.
Sorry, you got to see that, TC. I hate that.
We're gonna do picks at the end. We got a FanDuel pick segment, and then we'll do some predictions and kind of low AM and winner picks and all that. But Solly, let's do press conference highlights.
Let's do that.
Locked in there.
Yeah, I popped into a couple here and there while we were here. The Riddler spoke today. Fred Ridley, of course, the chairman. I would say that not a ton in this one. You know, they confirmed that they're going to back the USGA and R&A in the distance rollback. I'd suggest kind of flipping through his transcript and reading some of the answers. I really appreciate how good he is at answering these questions. Like as soon as he starts to like maybe speculate on something, he has to acknowledge that he's speculating on it. He covers himself so well. It's really impressive.
He's a litigator,
right? Yeah, it really is true lawyer speak, but not in a, it's still interesting, right? He's still willing to say things, but he just qualifies everything that he says. And, find it interesting just talking about television ratings and Caitlin Clark and all these things, but just acknowledging what he speculates. Even VJ has, I guess, made a comment about that he thinks the 12th hole needs lengthened, which I don't know where the suggestion box is for VJ to drop that in, but someone asked, would that ever happen? And Fred started the answer with, well, I mean, ever is a long time, but yeah, not on my watch will that hole be lengthened. So that was really good. But talked about, you know, the course never going above 8,000 yards, which like made me want to cry. That even need to be acknowledged. But
at now 7,500.
I think it's closer to 76. But now with the new tee, especially on two, I have to check. I don't really know, but
I think he said like they could set it up above 7,600 this week if they needed to. But they, you know, because I feel like they're kind of hemmed in. They don't have a ton of flexibility.
No,
right? Like there's only two sets of tee boxes on every hole, and some correct. Granted, some of them are long, but. It's the members' tees and the championship tees, and that's
correct.
It.
So, not a whole heck of a lot, not a whole lot on live and exemptions, other than, you know, saying we are an invitational and you know we can always adjust things, but that's kind of been their stance forever on that. So, he acknowledged that there wasn't enough relegation or kind of churn on the live tour. It's kind of down to you know who you can sign, who they can sign, basically to fill out their fields as a. Just an acknowledgement again of a lot of the stuff we've talked about as to why Liv is not getting OWGR points, but we don't need to do that on a Masters pod. But
well, Solly, it's an acknowledgement of everything I'm going through as a Cleeks fan too.
I know it's true. It's true. Well, you got your guy Maronk's in the field. I think you should be fine. I know we have some of these queued up. I forget which ones we have and which ones we don't here, Cody. So you may need to pop in and remind us on some of this, but Tiger gave a press conference yesterday. One of the quotes that stuck out the most was him saying that, you know, if everything breaks right, I think I can get one more, which it's an extreme long sure. shot, but that's what he's playing under, right? Like that's what is making him still tee it up. And, you know, of course, quickly shut down. I haven't even thought about being a ceremonial starter. I haven't even thought about it, not even considering it.
What's that?
Yeah.
Ceremonial starter?
Not a whole lot coming out of that as well, but other than he did reflect a little bit on what golf has meant to him and what, you know, kind of golf being his whole life and what this tournament has meant to him over the years and all those things. I was hoping for just a little more clarity on like what it looks like for him to try to ramp up for a tournament these days, like what a you know, what rest versus rust is going on. I'm hurt every day. But the ankles fused, it's not going anywhere, it's fine. So I don't know if he knows all the places that he is hurting. He kind of acknowledged that, you know, he had mentioned that he was going to play one tournament a month, but, you know, has been in some pain, but you know, between the Genesis and now that has not happened. But I'd love to hear him just say, like, in a perfect world, here's what I would do. I'd play 2 weeks before, I'd rest up, you know, for a week and then come. That would be my best rest versus rust balance. But there's no perfect world of a course that fits and something that fits in his schedule and all that stuff. So I don't know how
much has he played this week.
He went and chipped and putted around the front nine on Sunday, and I know he played the back nine on Monday. I think he played the front nine yesterday, and I don't know what he did today. I've been running around all over the place today, but I know he's played at least 18 holes, and I would imagine he played some a little bit today. But
he's probably deep into the Call of Duty tonight, and he's celibate right now. So
allegedly.
Randy, I know this is important for you. There's been five total hole-in-ones today during the par three contest.
Jesus.
Something that just happened a couple minutes ago is that Bryson rinsed his first ball but ended up holing out for his par three there. So not a true hole-in-one, but I'm just getting you those updates.
Cody, how do you feel about the par three contest?
I think it's a great tradition. Not for me. Don't need it.
Well said. Well said. I'll triple down on that.
I don't get why it offends you guys so much. Like, what else are you gonna do on a Wednesday afternoon? Like, it's a nice warm up for the week. It's good for the this event spans way beyond just avid golfers. The families love watching this one. They love watching the kids run around.
It's so syrupy. It's
of course it is. It's the
so
Masters.
Over the top. Well, I know. I don't like that. I'm getting so much already. I don't need.
Okay.
I don't need it coming from another avenue.
Yeah,
I agree. And Solly, you said it perfectly. It's just not for me. And I think that should be okay. Yeah, and I love everything Masters.
If you like your par three contest, you can keep your par three contest.
I might make the par three contest like my thing. I might like do a fantasy pool for the par three contest.
Like Scott Van Pelt, he tweeted out like, this is my favorite spot on the whole property. He tweeted out this picture of the par three. And I'm like, what? That's crazy.
Do you know what else kind of gives me the creeps? Quiet. Is that's where somebody, a founder of this club went, and that was like his final resting place. And now it's supposed to be celebrated with family and everything else like that. And it's just kind of weird to me. And I don't know. I know it's just has this eerie feeling. I don't quite get it.
Sarge, I would say what you just said is kind of the motto of the week. Just don't think too hard about a lot of stuff, because the more onion layers you peel back, I think it gets a little uncomfortable. But yes, I agree.
I would say the one upside of the par three is, in the past when I've been, I think four or five times on Wednesday, I've never once gone to the par three contest. I just walk around the course by myself.
It's awesome.
Make it like, and there's nobody out there. There's no players out there. There's no fans out there. You just get to see the holes in all their glory. It's sweet.
That's what I'm planning to do this evening, TC. As soon as you're done with the pairings, I'm going to go right back out on that golf course. We had, I'm going to skip the Ron Presser just for now, just to say Rory had a awkwardly short presser. I believe he arrived 30 minutes, arrived on site at Augusta 30 minutes prior to the presser. I've heard it was 8 minutes. I've heard it was 4 minutes. I heard it just was cut awkwardly short. Obviously, that had to have been a request of their kind. I understand where he's coming from here. I wonder if this thing is way too deep in his head of like, all right, we're cutting off media and we're flying in super late and we're just going to try to wing it, almost pulling off the you need to just get drunk Wednesday night and show up hungover on the first tee Thursday method of trying this out. I'll side with Rory. I'm like, he's been the most available person maybe in all of golf for several years, and there's not much more to add at this point for him. But it just did kind of there's clearly some messaging there of like, oh, I'm super focused on just the golf this week and trying to treat it like any other week, but also approaching this very differently. And I don't know, just a little awkward. But
you should go to Ray's Coastal Cafe down the street and just go get torn up tonight.
Yes.
I do want to play his clip if we do have it, Cody, just because I found this last part. I found it somewhat interesting on his new strategy, though, for gearing up to play for this week, of playing a bunch and how that might fit in. So if you can roll that, Cody, that would be lovely.
Rory, two things. What would you how do you feel about having played more this year? Do you feel like it's done what you'd hoped in terms of your mindset? And then just also, what's your what do you see as the biggest difference in the golf course since you first played here?
Yeah, I think it's been beneficial to play a little bit more this year leading into, you know, not just this tournament, but the spring and the summer. I think I'm a little more in tune with where my game is and where my misses are and how to, you know, I think once you play a lot, you learn just how to manage your game a little bit better, instead of if you haven't played that much and you're a little rusty. And I just think that patterns emerge the more that you play. And I've, you know, I feel like I've got a big enough sort of data set of rounds to sort of know how to manage what I'm doing right now. So I think that's been a good thing.
I think that's a, you know, a best case scenario for the new plan, right? Is to say I've got more info on how I'm missing and I'm maybe able to adjust more on the fly in competition. So I just found that little nugget interesting.
Yeah, Trevor, I think Trevor Immelman was on Friday Pod with Andy this week talking about how he thinks Rory's been over aggressive at Augusta and, you know, needlessly so. So it'll be interesting to see if his approach is any different there. But yeah, I think, I don't know, playing more feels like a good thing, right? It feels like, hey, that's, you know, barring any injury.
Just would have hoped it would have been a little better plan. I know last week was good, but over the course of it, yeah, you would have hoped it would have been just a little bit better.
Guys, I think last week's great. That's plenty of stuff to build off of. I also think one thing that he has to his benefit is that this is the only tournament of the year that Butch actually travels to because he's working for Sky, I believe. And I think having him there, because it's not just swing stuff. We all know, like, Butch, everybody that has gone to him has talked a lot about it's the mental side of it as well. And I know Rory has a big team, but I think this is the one thing where it feels like the right pieces are in place. And if something doesn't happen here, then I don't know what else you change, because it just seems like things that should be lining up are lining up.
Yeah.
Are we doing it? Are we having the block party this week? Are we, what's everyone's official stance?
I feel like we're not the guys that have the block party.
We weren't invited.
Okay.
He's burping a baby right now.
I've been invited before, but you know, I'm not an organizer of said block party. I don't want the liability, anything like that on me. So,
I've said I'm going to miss Rory's major comeback, but I've also fallen back into the trap right before it, and walked that back since saying that. I feel the tug right now. I feel just a little tug coming back towards it. But every time I felt that tug, we have an opening front nine of 39. So I'm right back at, talk to me again in an hour. I've changed my mind and I don't know what to expect, but I'm at least here for the emotional journey.
What I hope he doesn't do is go so far to the other side and get passive and defensive and not keep his foot on the gas and just kind of let it slip away. Oh, wow.
Neil Schuster chiming in, say block party is on TBD on date and location. Yeah.
It could be this
week. A little
bit
late in the game to not
could be in
TBD. Is it not Augusta? Is it not starting tomorrow? I don't understand.
Could be waiting for Troon. You never know what's going on here. I will say, if there is not a change in his overall performance this week, Solly, there is a future Hall of Fame caddy that is on the unemployment line now. And it is time that I know their relationship, him and Harry's, something needs to change. Something. And if he just had somebody, and I know he's super comfy with Harry on the course, but I don't know. It just makes more sense to me of having a true world-class caddy to get you through these moments than not having one. And I don't know why you wouldn't, like, use that tool.
I don't disagree. Only thing is, I would say, I don't know if the answer is Bones, though. You know, personality, I'm not yes or no, but, like, I don't know if it could be more complicated than that with somebody like Bones. I don't know the answer.
Could be
to that,
Kessler Corain.
Right? True.
He's won a Masters.
Exactly. Guys, breaking news. David Cannon took a picture of Getty. Third leg Greg is on site.
He's on site today. Did not see him, unfortunately, but did get the reports that he's there as a ticketed patron.
Wearing his white straw hat.
Which is
looking majestic.
I'm sure he's looking great. He wore that at a few Masters, and those are like some of my favorite Norman picks ever. But zooming past some of these other quotes, you know, we got to get to our picks here and got to keep us under our hour time limit that the Sarge has us on. But Victor Hovland didn't sound great in the presser, honestly. One of his quotes was, "I'm still kind of looking for some opinions out there, but I feel like I'm on a good track right now, and we'll see where that takes us." Also said, "I just haven't spent any time on my short game at all kind of the last few months because I've been prioritizing the long game stuff. When you're not hitting at your best, you're putting more pressure on the short game out there in tournaments, and I've definitely short-sighted myself quite a bit recently. So I'm sure the stats look a bit worse than they feel like they should be." That didn't sound great.
Strong plan from a notoriously great chipper. Love to hear that.
I don't quite get Hovland's odds being shorter than Wyndham Clark's. He's 35-1 and Wyndham Clark was 40-1 last I looked. I don't really understand that one.
Is it just experience at Augusta?
It has to be, but yeah. I don't know. That one was quite surprising to me given their form coming in.
But. Well, I've read a couple of things this week too about Vic just tearing his swing down and all these different voices he's got in his head, and she's like, "What? Like what? I thought like we're pretty close to getting there last year." Yeah.
just a tinkerer, just has to do it. Gosh, I loved the homage that Bryson paid to our guy TC when he was asked, "What would your dream scenario be for where golf is 5 years from now?" He goes, "Wow, that's an interesting question. I can go many ways with that." And then he goes into making an analogy about the NFL and the NFC and the AFC working together and coming together, which I don't know if that's the analogy I'd go with for like two conferences in the same league. But, you know, I do have to admit that's a better analogy than his pizza shopping from.
I think he was talking about the AFL and the NFL, way back.
Yeah. Pre-merge.
AFL, pre-merger. NFL.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, he said NFC, AFC. But so,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, you got to remember,
there's so much stuff in his brain, man. Like he's going to make mistakes every once in a while.
I'm not even going to spell out what he spells out next, because I don't think I really fully understand.
How's he looking? Is he looking svelte again? He's looking, or is he kind of
svelte, but muscular still, if that makes sense. Like not jacked, but he looks like in really good shape. We watched him hit some shots into 11 though. They weren't very good shots, I will say, but he looked like he looked healthy. He looked really healthy, better than when he was Michelin man.
How about Sergio's quotes?
Sergio said, "I think the game is in a perfect spot. The professional game, maybe it's a little more separated, mostly because of the media, not so much because of the players, but I think the game itself is in a great spot." I think that's spot on. I would have no revisions to that comment as well. I don't. We're all looking for the guy that did this / Glute Activator had a great tweet as well of the meme of the LIV golfers shooting men's professional golf and saying, "Why would the media do this?" Yeah, we don't need to spend any more time on LIV, but that was.
He looks good in his Fireballs shirts, though. Glad those made the trip with him.
Last one was just Scotty. I had never heard this, that Scotty spent some time with Carl Jackson in the caddy house. He said, they sat with him for a few minutes. He gave me a yardage book that had some of where, I think he called it grain, where some of the slopes are. It's just a yardage book that has some arrows in it. I'm not going to tell you where the arrows are pointing, but it's something I kind of review at night. And I always look at in the lead up to the tournament, just because it's kind of some weird stuff that goes on around the golf course. I love little minutia like that. So shall we get to some picks? Weird, you want to kick us off?
Silly stuff.
Take us there.
Great about my picks.
Yeah. What do you got, Randy?
Which category you want to start with?
All right. So this is our FanDuel play of the week.
We just make them.
Yeah. No. So let's do our play of the week first, and then we'll get into our predictions and our picks. So we'll get to our play of the week. It's presented by FanDuel, the new official sports book of No Laying Up in 2024. We're stoked to work with them. And guys, as always, I need to remind people, odds are subject to change.
We know that. You see, feel me? I do. I definitely feel you. What's I see mine queued up behind the scenes there. So I'll go first with my pick. Truly a lot of different ways we could go with this. I had a great time kind of going through this and came up with about 25 I wanted to do, but listen, I think, it's a limited field. There's 88, 89 guys. I forget which way, what it was. 35 plus are non-competitive markers essentially in this tournament. So let's just call it 50-ish.
35 plus?
I mean, yeah. Listen, look at some of the guys that are way down the odds sheet.
I think that's right. It might even be a little low.
Keegan's like 220-1 this week. Like there's a lot of dudes that are just not like competitive in this tournament. So all that to say, The cream of the crop rises. It's a easier week to top 10, right? So I am going with a parlay of Scottie Scheffler, Rory McIlroy, and John Rahm all to finish in the top 10, including ties. That's a big one there for plus 650. I think Scottie's a lock for that. That's not even a part of the bet. Like I'm sure that didn't even move the line at all. I think Rory's going to play totally fine, good enough to top 10. And I don't know if Rahm's capable of finishing outside the top 10 at the Masters currently. So I love this one. I thought the plus 650 was a great one. That's my play of the week.
I like it. I like it.
Yeah. I think if Scotty's wife goes into labor, it could be a takequake.
Yeah. That would be
for the
tough.
Punters.
Dang, I didn't think about that one, TC. All right. Well, it's in. It's too late. Randy, what do you got?
Yeah, I went to the group, the group offerings, and specifically group F. Group F. I got my guy P. Reed winning. Whoa. Group F. Let me talk to you. It's Tyrrell Hatton, J. Day, Brian Harman, Sam Burns, and Patrick Reed. I just feel like Patrick knows Augusta. He just seems to play really well here. I'd like him to beat those other guys in that group. I feel very good about that. That's my play of the week.
I didn't like it until you said the group, and I'm like, I kind of see where you're coming from there, Big. TC, what do you got?
Guys, I couldn't narrow it down. I got two.
Oh my God. You cannot do this. We're doing this all year long. We get one play of the week. We agreed on this. You got one. Pick it wisely.
Okay. All right. So here's what I'm deciding between then. Rory McIlroy to hit the fairway with his tee shot in all four rounds on the 15th hole. plus 340. I'm going yes there. Which, you know, that's kind of middle of the pack for that one. To hit the fairway all four rounds on the 18th hole is plus 600. That's kind of the top end. And then hole 14 plus 250 is kind of the low end there. So I'm going in the middle there. And then I got to go with my guy, No Hat Pat, over Vic.
I love this one, TC.
I think I'm going to pick that one. I'm going with Patrick Cantlay, 72 hole match bet against Victor Hovland, minus 105. Cash me outside. How about that?
Odd subject to change, of course. But that's a great one. I think anything Cantlay's got a weirdly good record here. He doesn't putt well here, but you know, not necessarily the best finishes, but he hits the ball really well around this place. And based solely on Hovland's presser, I'm with you on that one. I would ride with you on that one.
We've got an odds boost on there as well. We got no laying up Masters boost, Tiger Woods to be par or better after three holes of round one. So, you know, Tully, we'll see. What if they go off two tees? What if they mess with things? There could be all sorts of considerations there. But
I think they would like still one, send two, him off three. One. Yeah, that's
yeah,
a great
I feel like,
chance.
I feel like even if he bogeyed one, there's a chance he birdies two and three, you know? So
it's par or better, too. Plus 100. Exactly. That's actually a great play. I love that one.
Exactly.
You guys are really banking on him being Ranger Rick out there on the golf course.
Banking on that delay.
Go into our other our predictions first and foremost. Solid. Who you got for Low Am?
I'm gonna ride with my guy Jasper Stubbs. Played with him in an upcoming Tora Sauce episode down in Australia. Saw him win the Asia Pacific Amateur at a really, really, really difficult Royal Melbourne golf course. Also an Alistair McKenzie golf course that requires all kinds of different shots. Somewhat similar to Augusta, very different golf course, but somewhat similar in that fashion. So I'm gonna ride with my guy Jasper.
Big? Are you gonna choose the big man?
I know who big.
Look at those big boys. Some big AMs. This has to be the tallest collection of AMs in the history of the Masters. I'm gonna go with Stu. Obviously knows the course. I don't think it's gonna be like, you know, nervous or whatnot. So give me Hagestad.
Wow, not choosing his guy Lamprecht.
No.
The big South African.
He's probably sleeping shitty all week up in the crow's nest. Yeah,
it's too windy. Too windy out there for
and
a guy.
It's gonna
that
be
frame.
Windy.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Honestly,
exactly.
He's not gonna get good sleep tonight up in the crow's nest either.
I know.
Like it's
is he staying there all week? There.
I don't know. I think they
each of those guys stay one
night
and they get out of there. Yeah.
Okay. Guys, a favorite who will struggle or miss the cut.
Ooh, so I actually feel good about this. Let me just say I don't consider Xander like a true favorite. I absolutely do not think he's gonna win. But when you drill down into his record, obviously he's had very good finishes at Augusta. However, he seems to be an odd year player at Augusta. He's got in the three odd years he's played, he's got a combined average finish of fifth. And then in the three even years he's played, he's missed a cut. He's finished like tied for 50th and tied for 17th. So being 2024, I think we can safely cross off Xander.
I don't know if this one, you know, he's plus 1400 to win, and my pick is much higher odds than that. So I'll throw two in almost in the, you know, you got to take two guys if you're going to pick who won't win. And I'm going to take these two. Bryson and Victor are both plus 3,500, and I expect both to struggle this week. Does that pass the test of a favorite expecting to struggle?
It does. Okay. It does. And you pick two. You know, yeah. Everybody else would have gotten on me for picking two, but like picking Hovland almost feels like cheating a little bit. But
he hasn't been that bad. I think we're kind of slagging him off maybe a bit too hard. He hasn't been that bad, but just how he's talking about his game doesn't leave you feeling good.
Yeah. I'm gonna go Matt Fitzpatrick, and I have no idea why. I just don't feel like, maybe it was just watching him during players. He just swings so hard at the ball, and it makes me uncomfortable. Like, to the point where it just doesn't feel controlled. And all right, picks to win.
This is it. I can't shake it. It's obvious. It's not why you would tune into this show, but I truly, if you ask me who I think is going to win, I think Scotty's going to win. I think he is going to do it. I think the conditions will favor him if it's really difficult and windy. So part of it was, if you pick Scotty, you got to pick who's going to finish second. Yep. Zalatoris would be my guy. I'm screaming that one from the rooftops of just don't forget who this guy is in major championships. And he would be who I would look to down the, I don't know necessarily, like at plus 400. I don't know if I'm, you know, risking anything on Scotty, but I definitely would for where Zalatoris is in the plus 400, plus 4,000 range, something down there. So Randy,
guys, I kind of picked him after Riv. I got Hideki. Can't shake Hideki. He's that. Since that win in Los Angeles, however many weeks ago, he's continuing to play good golf. He's obviously won here before. He's healthy and he's played all right the last couple of years, even when, you know, he's told us that he wasn't at his best health. So I really do like Hideki. That's my pick to win.
TC, many different ways we could go with this.
I am going to go. I'm going to believe in something, guys. I'm going to believe in something. No. All right. Not who you think I believe in, though.
Okay.
Sahith.
Okay.
Sahith Theegala. Okay. I think Sahith is going to show out this week. I'm hoping, I'm praying, I'm thinking that there's some sort of Spieth-like effect with him at Augusta, where it brings out the best in him and it makes him just turn into this generational talent when he comes on, and it suits his game. And I think, you know, Solly, you mentioned the short putting, or, you know, I just think of Sahith. I think of shots off of uneven lies and shot iron shaping. Play and yeah. Shaping and all that stuff. It brings out everything that I feel like he's really good at. So if he doesn't win, I expect him to be up there in the mix. So
I love that.
Cody, who you got?
No Tommy with the local caddy.
No, you abandoned this boy.
Mojo. I mean, Ludwig. It's
I've abandoned my child.
It's hard to keep up with. You know, it's going to be Scottie Scheffler, but I understand you can't just say that. I truly feel, and I know I walked myself into this earlier, I just have this feeling for Rory. And I know it's not, I know I shouldn't do this to myself. I know others, very, very strong, brave people have done this in the past and have suffered equal wounds. But I have a feeling for Rory. I think he's finally putting the pieces together. I think it all makes sense. We saw great form yesterday or last weekend. And honestly, if Akshay wasn't hurt, I would go with Akshay because, like, future-wise, this is sets up perfect. He's a lefty. He can control his ball flight. He hits the crap out of it. Can putt now with that really weird broomstick thing. But I don't know. This is Rory's year. I have a feeling. I'm excited to fire up the grill. You know, my guy, my partner in crime, has been missing. He's been on leave for a couple of weeks, so I'm excited to get Neil up there and be, you know, put on some aprons and see who the big daddy is. But I don't know. That's where I'm at.
The big daddy.
I loved where you're going with that, with Rory, until you threw in the Akshay part. Now I'm like, okay, well, what's he searching for here? I don't know about Akshay around this place.
But hey, listen, Cody, really, let me know if you want me to
bring
any slides or anything like that.
Of course, you know. DC. If you want to bring whatever. Whatever you want to bring,
I'll bring a Fiesta pack too.
TC, you're always TC's welcome.
If you need to reach a numbers quota, TC's willing to come by the block party. So. Why don't you play us out, house? TC? It's Masters. Yeah. It's Masters time, baby.
It's Masters time. Thanks for everybody tuning in. Our guy Radar Atlas is in the comments too. Appreciate all you do as well for everybody. Let's have a great week. Thanks to High Noon. Thanks to Roback. Thanks to FanDuel. Thanks to Sarge. Thanks everybody watching. Let's do it.
Crack on.
Cheers.